Welcome back inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard, FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting, along with Trevor Sikkema from PewterReport.com, covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're getting near the end here, Trev. What, four picks to go in the Inside the War Room Locked On NFL Mock Draft app? Who's been your favorite guy so far? Who's been your favorite pick that was just totally crazy, off the wall, or maybe it wasn't off the wall, and you just were like, that's the perfect pick?
I mean, obviously, it's the two that we chose, like,
oh,
right?
You know, three.
I mean, obviously, we had the best selections for the teams.
I would tend to agree. Outside of us, I'm not really sure any of the other picks matter, so we'll just keep rolling on. We got Mike Kay with us, the Jaguars beat writer from First Coast News, to pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars, also our good friend. Mike, how are you, my friend?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely, man. Really excited that you were able to join us and jump on to help us. We're nearing the end here, but the Jaguars pick is one that it gets a little bit harder as we get down to the bottom of the first round because there aren't as many crying needs on these teams. You know, Jaguars, I know nickel corner was thrown around. They spent all that money on DJ Hayden. I don't know why, but they might still end up being a need for them. They brought in offensive line help, obviously, in the form of Andrew Norwell, but right guard spot is still whole. Anywhere else, are we missing it? I mean, I know people have talked about tight end. They've talked about wide receiver. What's the big needs on Jaguars roster right now?
Well, I think you look at outside linebacker, and that's a place where it doesn't seem like an immediate need because you have Miles Jack, who's going to become the middle linebacker, and obviously Talvin Smith with a pro bowler at weak side linebacker. But that Sam linebacker position still needs work. I know it's not on the field all that consistently, but they have really no depth. I mean, they have Blair Brown, and that's it at linebacker behind Miles Jack and Telvin Smith. And ideally, you want to put Blair Brown at weak side linebacker as a backup. So Blair Brown will compete for that Sam job, but you don't want to just give it to him. I like to grade scales later in the draft, kind of round three, sort of to target that sweet spot. And then you look at right guard and right tackle. Jeremy Parnell was incredible last year as a pass blocker, but he's also kind of falling apart. He's constantly injured. It's a matter of when he's healthy, not, you know, when he plays. You know what I mean? Like, his performance isn't dropping, but he's not on the field enough for it to matter.
Right.
And then you've got right guard AJ Cann, who just seems really miscast in that right guard spot after playing left guard his entire college career. So that's a spot that a lot of people want to upgrade as well.
I want to talk to you just about the receiver position. It's something that, and it might not be something that they address early on in the draft. Who knows? I mean, you know better than us, but it's a lot of change from what we saw, especially, you know, last year. I mean, Marquise Lee's kind of the only guy that's still here. They bring in Dante Moncrief. Jalen Strong's another guy they brought in. Dede Westbrook, I know, had a pretty decent year last year when he was able to get playing time throughout that wide receiver core, but what does that kind of look like? Are they concerned about that at all? Obviously, Blake Bortles being the quarterback, so you want to surround him with as many weapons as you possibly can. But I know they did what they did last year without Allen Robinson, but you're kind of looking at it like, hey, man, we might have been able to do what we did last year and still get Allen Robinson back. Now that's not a thing anymore. So does the plan change a wide receiver or the priority at all?
Well, I think they look at this as they got a speed upgrade to Allen Robinson and Dante Moncrief. They wanted to stretch the field a lot more. They want to make the box a little bit smaller for Leonard Fournette. This team wants to run the football a lot, like 60% of the time. So wide receiver isn't as big of a need, I guess, in their mind. Me personally, I think they really need to upgrade the slot receiver position. I think this West Coast offense in particular, this style of West Coast offense that they're playing would benefit from targeting the middle of the field with the slot receiver, with the tight end. And you could really move guys around. I spoke to Dave Caldwell, the general manager of the Jaguars, on Friday during their pre-draft luncheon. And he basically alluded to them not wanting to designate a specific slot receiver. In my initial mock draft for First Coast News a couple of weeks ago, I had them taking Christian Kirk because I thought he could be a dynamic version of Wes Welker or Julian Edelman across the middle, be that safety net for Blake Bortles and be like a bulk target guy, kind of in the mode of Jarvis Landry. Since hearing that from Caldwell, and he's normally pretty transparent, I don't think they necessarily need to draft a slot receiver early. They do like Dede Westbrook. When they drafted him, they said that they wanted a guy that they could move all around, and Dede fit that mold. Keelan Cole's been a pleasant surprise. He can play in the slot as well. They really like Moncrief. I definitely think they need some insurance, maybe a guy like Jamon Moore or a guy like Dante Pettis later in the draft. But I don't know if they're really going to be pressed to draft a playmaker that early on.
Jamon Moore shouting out one of my favorites in the later rounds. Developmental guy, but he's got a lot of potential. That's an interesting connection there between those two. You meant offensive line for this team, Mike. It just seems kind of like this is where the team's built. If they succeed in the offensive line, they have a chance to succeed offensively. If they don't, they don't. You know, and I think a lot of people really like Leonard Fournette, and I like him as well. I think maybe some people like him more than me, but I think he's at his very best when there are gaps created for him. He's not a runner that's going to consistently create on his own. And so I think that puts the onus even more to fix the offensive line. Who could they consider? You know, even if it's a guy maybe that's off the board in this scenario, just so fans know, who are the guys Jacksonville will be looking at maybe to work into their offensive line if they were available down in that range of the draft?
Well, you know, you and I kind of talked about it off air, but Mike McGlinchey, if he by some miracle was there, I think he'd be the absolute ideal pick for them. Connor Williams, who went a little bit earlier to the New England Patriots, makes a lot of sense. Tom Coughlin constantly talks about grit. Connor Williams, I'm pretty sure his middle name is Grit. and he makes sense because I think what they would like to do is draft a guy that could be their future right tackle to take over for Parnell, but battle with Canned for that right guard spot those first couple of years. That's why I really like Tyrell Crosby in you know, maybe in a trade-up scenario in the second round, the middle of the second round. And I think they also like guys that can – you know, play guard immediately too. Billy Price is a guy that they could also look into in the second round. For some reason, I keep thinking about Orlando Brown and how his kind of trajectory during draft season is kind of matched Cam Robinson's, and that intrigues me a little bit too. I'm not sure if he's a really great fit at guard for Doug Marrone's style of play, but I think he could be a future right tackle and be a swing tackle early on if he was drafted in the second round.
I just popping back over one more question for defense, at least before we get your pick here. But you know, you talked about the linebackers there. Obviously, we know kind of the secondary was incredible last year, as was the front four for Jacksonville. So you talk about a couple of moving pieces. There might be some open spots at linebacker, even for some players who might be off the board. I think, you know, Van Der Esch is off the board. Roquan Smith's off the board. Evans is off the board. Are any of those guys or even guys that haven't been picked yet, what are some of the options if they were going to look at filling that need early? And I know you talked about Scales as a guy possibly later that they could plug in. Who are a couple names that you'd be looking at who would make a really good Sam linebacker for this team if that was the defensive hole they were going to prioritize?
Well, I really like Rashawn Evans a lot. Could you imagine Evans, Telvin Smith, and
oh, it'd be beautiful.
Oh my god,
it'd be beautiful.
Magic. Like, he's the dark horse for me. If you guys want a true dark horse pick for the Jaguars, Rashawn Evans makes so much sense. I mean, he's a guy that can play all three spots, in my opinion. And he's a guy that you could switch up your nickel packages with based on matchups, too. I just, like, think he is these top three linebackers are fantastic. And I think if the Jaguars really wanted to you know, win now and really develop that linebacker group, I think Evans would be somebody special. I also think if you look at a guy like Marcus Davenport, if he is there, you know, Dante Fowler's option has to be picked up in a couple of weeks. And I don't know if it's going to happen. They haven't made a decision yet. And, you know, you've got Yannick Ngakoue, Calais Campbell's guaranteed money's up after next year. So he's an interesting guy. I think when you look at a guy like trying to think of who I was talking about with somebody earlier today, but when you look at guys in that front four that can do play on multiple spots, you're in really good shape. And I think that's what they want, because really people on the outside that didn't watch a lot of Jaguars football didn't realize that last year their starting lineup missed a player for two games. Telvin Smith missed two games. Everyone else played the whole season, which is insane. Right. And it's totally not sustainable. So they really need to cultivate some depth. I think they like what they have at defensive tackle. But, you know, Maurice Hurst from Michigan, I could see Dave Caldwell falling in love with him. He's his type of defensive tackle.
Another pick that would make that defense unfair, in my opinion.
I agree. I mean, you know, that's the thing. But they also realize that their window is 2 to 3 years open. And, you know, I could see them really looking at the secondary. We were talking about it off of the air, but like Justin Reed would make a little bit of sense. Jair Alexander is a guy, he's one of my favorite players in the entire draft. I think he would be really good hedge the bet insurance for DJ Hayden. And if DJ Hayden didn't work out at nickel, DJ Hayden's your number one outside backup. And then Jair Alexander gets 4 picks a season and you're good. So I don't think you could go wrong on defense if you did add a defensive player because of the depth purposes and the fact that a lot of guys are not going to be back next year.
Man, Jair Alexander, Maurice Hurst, or Rashawn Evans on this defense would be terrifying. And I know DJ Hayden, what's going to happen with DJ Hayden, and it isn't going to be pretty. So having a guy like that, I think would be – I actually mocked them Jair Alexander back in like February, I feel like. I mocked him like – I might have mocked him a couple times to the Jaguars because I just think it'd be the perfect pick. And then they signed Hayden and – I don't know if they'll go down that road, but it'll be dangerous if they did. Okay, Mike, so here we are. Jaguars, you've laid out the options, the needs. You know, they're kind of like all, you know, I don't know, first world problem needs, I guess, maybe. But if you're looking at the Jaguars and looking at what they need now, as they're on the clock here with the 29th pick in the 2018 NFL draft, who is going to be your pick?
The Jaguars select tight end out of South Carolina, Hayden Hurst. And I know that's
Okay.
I know that's going to annoy a lot of people.
But that's what you're here to do.
Right. But you have to understand where this team is at right now and who it's being run by. So Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone both told me that finding a two-way tight end these days is very, very, very hard to do. They need a two-way tight end because, like I said, they want to run the football a lot. So you're not going to look at Mike Gesicki's or Gesicki's and guys like that of the world because you need a guy that can be in two tight end sets all the time and can actually flourish in different matchups. Doug Marrone even went out of his way to say, you know, you look at it and you're like, do we prioritize blocking? But then personnel changes and then you've got to make this guy a receiver out of nowhere. Hayden's an older guy. I get it. He's 25, but you can get 2 contracts out of that from the tight end position. Guys, Jason Witten's career is going to outlive me. And I think, like, when you look at the position and where they're at, they don't have a ton of needs. They need a safety net for Blake Bortles. Oh, by the way, Hayden Hurst is from Jacksonville. He knows how to be a pro. He played college baseball for 2 years. He's a grown man, and this team thinks they can win a Super Bowl next year. If you want that guy, they have a bunch of tight. They've got Austin Seferian Jenkins, who's been, you know, a good tight end, but he's not really going to produce a lot of stuff. And you also don't know. He's kind of a wild card. You've got James O'Shaughnessy, who's a utility special teams player. You've got Ben Koyak. You've got David Greenwich. You've got Niles Paul. These all are all guys that play special teams. This band of NSYNC needs its Justin Timberlake. And I think that Hayden Hurst can be that guy. I think he can be dynamic in the open field.
He just comped Hurst to Justin Timberlake.
It's a good comp. I like the comp.
Oh, no. The podcast fire.
I love every outside of the box. Every time somebody does that, somebody could be like, hey, you know what? Caven Bryan really reminds me a lot of Kraft mac and cheese. I'm like, love it.
You're there.
It makes sense. Love it.
Well, let me put it this way. If they don't take Hayden Hurst and they want a guy who's a two-way tight end, their really only other big option is Dalton Schultz to me, and he'd probably be a third-round pick, and I don't even know if he'd make it to pick 93. So if you
– Hayden Hurst is like a no-way tight end, though.
You're the worst, dude. I actually really like Hayden a lot.
No, I know.
Mike's not alone because doesn't Jeremiah? No. Jeremiah loves Hayden Hurst too, doesn't he?
He's going to go in the first. Yeah, this is a realistic pick.
He got him mocked at 15 to the Ravens, man.
Yeah.
I'm not a crazy person. No. I just really like the guy.
This is all right.
No, Mike, I know you're the guest, but you can tell John to suck it. It's fine.
Well, no, but here's the thing. When Hayden Hurst puts up, you know, 80 yards on 5 catches and 2 touchdowns against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football.
There it is.
That's
there
it is. That's where it's going
to I'm literally in front of my mic. I'm ducking the haymakers right now because I can see them coming my way. But I will agree with you with this, Mike. Hayden Hurst is a better fit for Jacksonville than Mike Gesicki. That's 100% accurate, and I've been saying that. Like this Gesicki to Jacksonville talk does not make sense to me because he is not what they do at the
not position. All tight ends are the same. Right. No way.
Well, and I think Goedert would be an interesting fit, but he to me would be a big slot. Like I just because I'm all for that. Like I'm all for the big slot. Right. You know, a guy that's actually way more athletic than Jordan Matthews and who can actually catch, filling that role. That makes sense to me. Yeah. Right. But you look at this thing, I would have taken McGlinchey over Hurst. I would have debated Connor Williams. Mm-hmm. I would have taken Rashawn Evans potentially.
Yeah.
But
none of them are there.
You look at what's available, and they really think they can win now. They don't have to wait on the guy. He's got pretty good yak ability. It's time.
Yak ability?
Yak ability. Oh, that's a scouting term, Trevor. Come on.
All right.
Yak-ability.
Sorry.
That sounds like a really weird funk, like Christian band in like the 80s.
This has been the best pod so far. This has been the best pod. Yak-ability, Hayden Hurst, 580 and 2 tutties against the Steelers on, was it Sunday or Monday Night Football? I forget.
It's Sunday Night Football. Sunday they don't allow Jacksonville on Monday Night Football, unfortunately, but.
Dropping the bow, Mike K. Love it. Love it. Follow him on Twitter at Mike_E_KAYE. Special K. Let's go. Mike K in the house. Thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. The Minnesota Vikings up next. Luke Inman laying out a pick for the Minnesota Vikings. Always going to be entertaining. You know it's going to be entertaining. Keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft. We're back on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledger, Trevor Sikkema, Minnesota Vikings on the clock with our good pal Luke Inman from over at Zone Coverage, where he covers the Minnesota Vikings, the NFL Draft on Twitter. You can follow him at Luke_Spinman. Luke, what's happening, my man?
Oh, just so great to join you guys. What a great concept you guys are doing. This should be a lot of fun. Can't wait to pick for the Vikes, baby.
Thanks, man. We've had a blast with it. It's really been really cool to see how everybody, you know, kind of has different thoughts and opinions and hear inside perspective from people who cover teams as to what they're saying in these organizations and things. It's been super insightful.
Let me say this just real quick. John, I mean, you just showed me the board and how everything's fallen so far, and I should know this, but have you released this to people yet? Because people are going to be stunned by some of these picks.
This is just an awesome
awesome mock draft. And what I love about this mock draft so far, too, is that just like the real draft, there's so many twists in this draft that's happened. Yeah. And I was really excited to see how the board fell out for the Vikes.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. The Vikes don't have a ton of big needs, I think most people would say, looking at their team. Offensive guard stands out the most, or center if they move out flying to guard if they draft somebody. So interior offensive line, you know, obviously that's a big priority for this team. Would you say going in that is unquestionably the biggest need to address?
Well, I think it is, John. You're right. Like, it's the only starting position that needs to be filled. Is Nick Easton going to come back? And if so, is he going to be any good? Probably going to want to, like you say, get a center or guard. I think Elflein was so good at center. They'll probably just you know, they're not going to fix if it ain't broke at this point. They're going to look for a guard. Now, the big thing is, though, here is that even though that's their biggest position of need, how important or how valuable is an interior lineman, is a guard? I know Rick Spielman's had really good luck in the past drafting interior linemen, and I wouldn't be so shocked, unlike what a lot of Vikings fans think is going to happen, I wouldn't be so shocked if he pushes the luck and tries to get an Austin Corbett or Frank Ragnow in the second. Maybe James Daniels falls. Maybe Billy Price falls because of that pec injury. Tries to fill that need in the second round and ends up filling more of an important position, albeit depth, like a cornerback position. Hey, Terrence Newman's not going to last forever. You know, Trey Waynes is due $13 million next year for his fifth-year option. Is he good? Yeah, is he that good? I don't know. And Mack Alexander from Clemson, they put him in the slot right away, which I didn't love that move. I thought he was really good on the boundary at Clemson, but he really hasn't splashed too much either. So that's an area of need. Defensive tackle has no depth at all, guys. They got rid of Shamar Stephan from UConn and Tom Johnson, two great role players. Mm-hmm. Outside of Sheldon Richardson, who, by the way, is on a one-year deal too,
right.
There's nobody. There's Linval, obviously, those are your two starters, and Jaleel Johnson, if you remember him from last year, mm-hmm. a rookie from Iowa. So some bigger positions of need. Interior line, certainly the only starting spot, but I don't know how valuable Rick Spielman's going to look at that.
Yeah, the Vikings, I mean, you can tell. We just had Mike Ham for the Jaguars. You can tell what teams are, like, in that we think we can compete for a title window, because you've got stuff like that. You know, you look at the roster and you could say, wow, you know, the Vikings are one of the more talented teams in the NFL. But even, you know, talking to you, just somebody who covers it more closely, you can see where down the line they've got to start thinking about some moving ons. You know, Sheldon Richardson, one of them, you look at him on paper and it's like, wow, he's on the team. That's incredible. But how much longer? And so I just wanted to flip back over to the offensive side, though. Obviously, the big addition for the Vikings being such a successful team in 2017, and then adding Kirk Cousins to the team. So what is the outlook with Kirk Cousins? What are you guys kind of looking forward to of how the offense might operate a little bit differently or more efficiency? I know Keenum had a hell of a year last year, so I mean, he did really well, but what's that look like this year with Kirk Cousins coming in?
For sure. Good question, Trev. I think basically we're just looking for consistency. We're just looking for continuity. It's been Teddy Bridgewater 1 year, it's been Sam Bradford, then Case Keenum. This Case Keenum guy comes in, starts playing with magic. I think really you saw Keenum start to get exposed a little bit when the big time game showed up, when he needed to carry a team in an offense and he didn't have the luxury of sitting behind this great defense. Behind him, I think the Saints game, and I think as well, obviously, the Eagles game, you saw some of the weaknesses and the inconsistencies of Case Keenum. They got the defense in place. It's a championships type of defense. They got Dalvin Cook ready to come back. Two great weapons with Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, but they need consistency at the quarterback position. And this is, you know, a bigger question that is going to be remain to be untold until the playoffs, but they need somebody to be able to win a big game against guys like the Packers and Aaron Rodgers twice a year. And then when they get in the playoffs, go beat some of these teams, go beat a Drew Brees type of team, and go beat, you know, now the Super Bowl defending champs, the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's what you're hoping for as a Viking fan. Kirk Cousins can bring that kind of stability to this, not only offense, but the team, and not only this year, guys, but for 3-4 years out.
I think it's a good point, Luke, and I think that you're looking to always build, you know, for now, but also with an eye toward the future, and I think they've done that just even recently by locking up Eric Kendricks. But also, the wide receiver position, you mentioned Thielen and Diggs. Outside of that, it hasn't really shown much. You know, Laquon Treadwell hasn't really panned out. Kendall Wright comes over. He's kind of been very average at best in his career. Stacy Coley, maybe some promise there. Some of the younger guys on the roster. Tight end, even Kyle Rudolph's been capable. You know, he's a solid football player. I don't think it's a position you look at and you say he can't be upgraded, though. So even though it might not be the biggest need, because they have two really good receivers, arguably the best tandem in the league, even though it isn't like doesn't look like the hugest need on the outside, if the board falls a certain way and there's a run on maybe interior offensive line or another one of the defensive spots they wanted to address and they don't like anybody there, and no trade down options look good, do you feel like wide receiver or tight end's a position they could hit in the first round?
Well, you just said it right at the end. How about tight end too? Because you're right, pretty top heavy at the top with Thielen and Diggs.
Yeah.
But you want to go three wide, four wide, five wide. You're not going to find a good mismatch against some of these other nickel cornerbacks in the league anymore. Treadwell, it is what it is. He's a young dude, still waiting for year three here. Maybe it everything clicks. But you talk to any Vikings fans who watch the Vikings games closely, they'll say, I'm not betting on that. I'm not holding my breath. So Jarius Wright was a great role player. We drafted him, came from Arkansas, fourth round pick. Didn't retain him. Again, you sign a guy like Kirk Cousins, the depth disappears. I mentioned the defensive tackles, Shamar Stephan and Tom Johnson, two great role players. Guys like Jarius Wright weren't able to be retained. So not a lot of depth at receiver, but you know, I'm not in love with any of these receivers sitting there at 30, but if Dallas Coder from South Dakota State or maybe even Mike Gesicki, you want to take a chance, those are move tight ends. And as good as Gesicki is in line as a blocking tight end, I think both those guys, especially down in the red zone, we saw him down at the Senior Bowl. I think Gesicki caught like three straight red zone fade patterns over a corner, a linebacker, and a safety. You see how good those guys can be in mismatch guys as like a Travis Kelce in an offense. So I think that for sure. I think receiver, but maybe if the talent is there, like a Dallas Goedert, I would be very enamored with a pick like that to help, again, Kirk Cousins and protect that investment.
Yeah, and just sticking with the offense for this next question, I wanted to ask you about Dalvin Cook because early on in this process, probably like January, December, when he kind of comes around, it's like, hey, you're looking at team needs, you're wondering what some of these teams need, you're coming up with mock drafts. And I remember myself back in December, January, I was like, oh man, the Vikings could use a running back. Oh wait, they have Dalvin Cook. So like, what is his recovery been like? And what's the schedule like for Dalvin Cook for his recovery coming back for the Vikings?
Yeah, good question, Trev. By the way, I remember when your Tampa Bay Bucks sitting at, I think it was 19.
Yeah.
In play for Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, dude. I'm not even rubbing that because I love O.J. Howard. I think O.J. Howard is going to be a phenomenal tight end.
No, Dalvin Cook is one of those guys. We talked to the Buccaneers general manager Jason Light afterwards, and we kind of just asked him like how legit of an option was Dalvin Cook in the first round, and he kind of just smiled and he's like, "We liked Dalvin. We liked Dalvin a lot." And so, I think if O.J. wasn't there, I think Dalvin might be a Buccaneer, but he's a Viking now. So, what's his timetable like?
Yeah, and to be honest, too, when I saw Eric Ebron go, 10 or 11 or maybe even 9, I thought O.J. Howard's going to go in the top 15 for sure. So funny how everything kind of just plays itself out. But Dalvin should be ready to roll. Everything I'm hearing, Dalvin should be ready to roll. Now, they might take him somewhat easy in training camp, which is to be expected. They might even ease him into the preseason, kind of that Adrian Peterson kind of role. But I feel like everything that I've heard, he's on schedule to roll, and he'll be 100% healthy. You know, these ACLs nowadays, guys, are just not what they used to be.
Right.
And not only is the timetable much shorter from a full year, 12 months, to now it's like 8-9 months. It's crazy, but they're coming back faster and stronger now, too, which is wild. You think about Todd Gurley and how much of a tear he's been on since tearing that ACL early on. So everything's ready to roll for Todd, my mind's thinking about Todd Gurley now. Everything's ready to roll for Dalvin Cook. I think more importantly, you got Latavius Murray back there, 2-pounders. The loss of Jerick McKinnon stung, another guy they couldn't retain because of Kirk Cousins. The depth is gone at a lot of positions. Maybe they're looking like a John Kelly from Tennessee, a Mark Walton from Miami, some sort of pass catcher. But really, Dalvin should step into that third down role predominantly and be that pass catching kind of running back out of the backfield.
Great stuff. That's a good overview of kind of the Vikings' needs. So here we go. We're up with the 30th overall pick in the 2018 NFL Draft. Luke Inman, as acting general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, who do you select?
Oh, my gosh. Well, again, this board was wild, you guys. This was a lot of fun. I think, ideally, like I told you guys, you're looking for maybe a Mike McGlinchey or an Isaiah Wynn to fall. They don't. If that's the case, plan B, I love a guy like Maurice Hurst from Michigan. Help that depth. You know, you look at the Eagles, a kind of copycat league. They laid out the blueprint. You got to have a lot of guys in the trenches, especially on the defensive line. I think Maurice Hurst was unblockable at times. I think he would be an option, but they're all gone. So I'm sitting here looking, and I'm telling you, Rick Spielman's going to truly go BPA. And I mentioned Terrence Newman's basically all but gone. You have to plan for him being gone this year, if not next. Trey Waynes is due $13 million on his fifth-year option next year. And Mac Alexander just really hasn't panned out. So Jair Alexander is just staring at me in the face from Louisville. Feisty, he's Antonio Winfield 2.0. I think not only fans would love him, but Mike Zimmer would love this guy. And just create more competition and depth at really a position where you have to have three good quarterbacks. three good quarterbacks.
I love the pick.
Yeah, I do too. No, I mean, they need an offensive line, but it's a great pick.
Right. I mean, like, go ahead.
To your point about Mac Alexander, what you were talking about before. I mean, I agree. You know, his measurables are not as ideal for an outside guy, but I mean, his play style is completely as an outside corner. So Alexander is a guy who not only I think could play outside corner in the NFL, certainly, but even if Mac Alexander was like, hey, this guy's better as an outside, we kind of got to keep him as an outside, You could still get the most out of Alexander by being like a almost like a mismatch neutralizer as another outside, as a slot, whatever it is. So
I think it'd be a great pick. Think about that three-man combo of Xavier Rhodes, new rejuvenated Mac Alexander on the outside, or Trey Waynes.
That's a lot of attitude. That's a lot of attitude. I love that.
And Jair Alexander. And again, guys, you know, Billy Price may be an option. Will Hernandez, a lot of Vikings fans love him that are listening. Will Hernandez an option. But I think Spielman knows he can maybe find an Austin Corbett at the end of the second Frank Ragnow or James Daniels. I think he's going to go more of a important position, albeit depth, like defensive tackle or a cornerback. And really, truly, like we did here, just let the board fall to him.
Right. Terrific stuff. Agree with it. Jair Alexander goes to the Minnesota Vikings. Guys, follow him on Twitter, @Luke_Spinman. He does terrific work. One of the best dudes we know. Luke, thanks so much for taking the time, man.
Hey, I love to be a part of it, guys. Super fun. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you guys soon, all right?
Absolutely. There he goes, Luke Inman, ladies and gentlemen. The Patriots, the Eagles, up next to close out the Inside the War mock draft. Thanks for sticking with us. Stick around for a couple more picks. Keep it locked right here on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast.